Okay, so keep in mind here where this story is going. Maybe you haven't read the whole story yet, and I don't know if we're going to get to all of it this morning, but if we don't, be sure to read through the other chapters of Ruth. But this is, it's an amazing story of how God in his providence brings together this Moabite woman, Ruth, with this Israelite man, Boaz, and then from their marriage, Obed is born. And so part of God's design here, part of the beauty of God's design here is that this woman, Ruth, who's from a different country, from a different people group, okay, that's one of the key pieces of this story, that she is incorporated into the people of God and part of God's redemptive story. Is there someone else this makes you think of? Not too far earlier in the Old Testament? We studied this just a few weeks ago. Rahab. I think I heard someone say Rahab. Yeah. Yeah, so Rahab. Remember how she was, I mean, the circumstances were very different, but she was incorporated into the people of God. And as a foreigner, okay? So in light of all of that, what God's doing in this story, let's think of some of the specific providences of God here. This is a frowning providence. And I get that phrase from William Cooper's hymn, God moves in mysterious ways, where the line here on your handout, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. What do you think that means? How would you put that in your own words? Yeah, Laura. Yeah. Yeah, Jeff.
There's some really challenging examples, like the poor attendant in her family, who tried to serve God by protecting the Jews.
Yeah.
They discovered two of them died before the woman survived. And she gets through this hellish experience. And she herself, I mean, she doesn't understand particulars about like, how that was good.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, there's many frowning providences in life, things that on the surface just looks like, you know, what's God doing here? And this, it seems like God's frowning upon us, like God's against us, you know, but behind that frowning providence, if we understand God's sovereignty and understand Romans 8:28 that he's working all things together for our good, you know, we have to understand that behind those specific things that feel hard, God is working it for our good. He's actually smiling upon us, even when it hurts. So what are some specific things, name some specific things in this chapter that are part of God's providential and redemptive plan? So we just read through chapter 1 here. What are some of the specific, you know, quote unquote, frowning providences we see here? Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, so there's death. These two husbands both die. I didn't hear that. Yeah, yeah. And even before that, a famine, right? So there's a famine in the land that they have to then leave Bethlehem and they sojourn to a foreign country. They go to Moab. So all of that's difficulty. There's not enough food, so they feel like they have to go somewhere else to find food. And then in this foreign land, then all three of these men die. Yeah, Naomi's husband dies and Ruth and Orpah's husbands both die. Right. Yeah, so you do see some glimmers of hope there, don't you? That then in verse 6, the food comes back. So the famine is ended. Interestingly, the town name Bethlehem, Beit Lehem, means house of bread. And so, at one, you know, there wasn't bread there, but now there's food again, or bread. I think, actually, the Hebrew word there at the end of verse 6 is lehem, for bread, that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread again. So they're able to return to Bethlehem. Another thing to talk about here is seeing God's sovereignty in all of this, because we know the rest of the story. We know that these are just appear to be frowning providences, but it's really God is smiling upon this family and upon this people and upon us through this, because, you know, it's through this line that Jesus is going to come. But we see God's sovereignty, and this is something we see throughout the Bible, and I just want to emphasize it again. Human responsibility here, people are making choices. You know, they decided to leave Bethlehem in Judah and go sojourn in the country of Moab. You know, the decisions were made for Ruth and Orpah to marry these Moabite, for the sons to marry these Moabite women. You know, then of course the men died, and then the decision is made for them to return. So I guess I just want to make the point, there's human decisions that are made that are not coerced in any way. These people aren't robots. They're making decisions of their own free will, as it were. And yet all of it is part of God's very specific design of how he's bringing about redemption for all peoples. Any questions or comments on that point? Does that make sense? Jeff? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so that makes the point even further, actually, that some of these decisions were probably not the godliest decisions to be made. You know, here's a Jewish family, an Israelite family in a foreign land where other gods are being worshipped, you know, and these sons marry Moabite women who would have come from families who are worshipping other gods. And so, you know, there's some kind of shady things going on here. You know, that this wasn't all above board, and yet even those kinds of decisions God is using for these purposes. That doesn't condone sin in any way, but it just shows that God is even bigger than our mistakes and our mess ups. Yeah, right. Yeah, and let's talk about that for a minute, because we see Naomi's understanding of God's sovereignty, but also the way she's interpreting that. And that's, I think we need to wrestle with that a little bit. You see in verse 13, she's saying, would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So she's definitely seeing this as a frowning providence of God. And then down in verse 20, where she's saying, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. So, I mean, have you felt like that? How do, you know, let's talk a little bit about how Naomi is feeling here, and what's what's right, you know, what's accurate about what she's affirming here, but also what's maybe unhealthy about how she's feeling here. Kurt? Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. There's a couple other handouts here on the table. I think some extras. Yeah, Jeff? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right, right. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good connection there. That's good. Laura? Yeah, that's, yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's right to this point. And yeah, you see Naomi, as you read through, you see her in kind of a depression, I think maybe you could say that, in these first couple chapters. I mean, this is really hard. But then as kind of the clouds part and this, you know, what's going to happen with Boaz, it kind of strikes her that she didn't even consider that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer, you know, it's like in her maybe depression or despondency hadn't occurred to her that there is actually a possibility for something to happen here, and then when God brings that about in his providence, it's like she, God brings her out of that, so that at the end it's a very different attitude that we're seeing. But yeah, in thinking about the just the tough times, I mean, you know, people, at least today, people go in two different directions. I mean, some people might say, oh, well, God didn't have anything to do with these difficult things. You know, that's just, you know, God doesn't, that's just simply the result of people's free choices, you know, and God's kind of standing back just letting these things happen. So God's not really part of the equation. But Ruth, or Naomi, I mean, she does have a biblical understanding in this sense of God's absolute sovereignty. She understands. There's no question in her mind. God is the one who brought these things about. But yeah, then it's wrestling with really embracing God's goodness in those things. And yeah, admittedly, you know, that's a really tough thing. And we, when we're trying to encourage one another, we can't just say like, come on, snap out of it. You know, God's good. You know, it's not simple like that. It's weighty. It's hard. So yeah, it's helpful to see Naomi trying to respond to these things and how she wrestles with it. Any other comments on that so far? The other thing to talk about here is Naomi wanting to strongly encouraging Orpah and Ruth to return to Moab. And what do you make of that? Because, I mean, Naomi's heading back to Judah. She's heading back to her homeland and to a place where Yahweh is worshipped. She's telling these her daughters-in-law to go back to Moab where false gods are being worshipped. So, I mean, what do you think is some of the thought process there for Naomi? Why would she encourage Ruth and Orpah to return home to Moab? Any thoughts on that, Jeff? Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and just the details of providing for one another. I mean, here's three women without husbands, and in that historical context, I mean, that's how are we going to put food on the table for ourselves? And yeah, so there's, yeah. Well, and then looking at Ruth's words, and this is what's really shocking in this chapter in verses 16 and 17. When Ruth, so Orpah, you know, at first, let me find the verse here. In verse 10, they, you know, both of them said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi, you know, kind of insisted, and then Orpah did go, but Ruth clung to her at the end of verse 14. And then verse 16, Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And those are such meaningful words and such a strong commitment that she's making, not only to Naomi, but also to Yahweh, to the God of Israel. And so again, it harkens back to Rahab, who, you know, we're not sure exactly how much Rahab knew or how much Ruth knew about the God of Israel. I mean, she had been married to, you know, an Israelite man and was part of this Israelite family, but you know, how much had she been taught? How much, you know, accurately had she been taught? How accurately had she been taught? We don't know all of what she understood, but we're seeing this very strong commitment of your God, I'm going to follow your God. So what explanation is there for these words of Ruth? Yeah. Yeah, so we see God's providence there. Yeah, we definitely see God's sovereign grace in Ruth's life, don't we? I mean, here's someone from a different people group, but God is drawing her to himself through her connection with Naomi. Now Ruth is going to go back to Judah. She's going to be part of the people of God. Yeah, David. Ruth's recognition of who God is? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Ruth didn't, I mean, she didn't know what she was signing up for here. I mean, it wasn't really because there was some promise of a husband or provision or really anything. I mean, she didn't know what there was going to be for her going with Naomi. It was going to something totally different. You know, going back to Moab would be going back to something familiar, but she's going to something totally different, doesn't know what is going to happen, but she knows, you know, that there's this bond with Naomi, and that she is she's pledging her allegiance to Naomi's God also. Well, chapter 2, there's the connection with Boaz, and again there's this providential, it's completely by God's providence that this happens. There's an interesting phrase, it's the way it's worded in verse 3 of chapter 2. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So it's interesting how the Bible kind of, you know, it makes the point by not making the point. You know, that's God's providence. You know, that's not coincidence. It didn't just happen. It's God orchestrated this to happen in just this way, because how else would it have happened? You know, of all the fields she could have walked out into, she ends up in the field belonging to Boaz, and then, you know, the rest is history, we could say, because we only have 2 minutes left. But yeah, another really poignant scene here is, I'll read in chapter 2, verse 10. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And, you know, so here's such a great gospel picture, and this is a picture of faith, that, you know, our faith, we're coming to find protection under the Lord's wings, to take refuge under his wings. I mean, that's what faith is. It's not that I bring something to offer, but I'm you know, we can identify with Ruth in different ways. We're the, you know, the foreigner, the outsider, you know, who is not part of God's people, who doesn't deserve to be part of God's people, but in God's grace and by his providence, you know, we're brought in to find this refuge under the Lord's wings. Any last comment or question? We're just about out of time here.
Just a quick one.
Yeah, Matt.
Just amazing to me, like just a practical thing. How much God did just simply through a loving relationship.
Mm.
No greater love has been in this. She was laying down her life. And no idea, one
Yeah. Amen. All right, good discussion, guys. That's a great book to look at. I encourage you to read the rest of it, and we'll head upstairs for our worship service now.